You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring clinical and forensic psychologist Joni Johnston.
Ruby Frankie, Jody Hildebrandt, the Mormon mommy bloggers that have found themselves in very hot water and allegations of child abuse. There's also a husband in the picture here. Specifically, I'm talking about with Ruby, Kevin Frankie. According to their attorney, they have been separated now for about 13 months. Ruby and Kevin in separate locations, very physically separate locations. Ruby having the kids while she was staying with Jody Hildebrandt. This is where the children escaped, or the one boy escaped and ran to the neighbor's house. I'm curious to get your thoughts on Kevin. His attorney saying he's focused on doing what's best for the kids at this point. He's saying Kevin did not want to be separated, but also saying that Kevin is now focused on making an effort to rebuild and bridge relationships rather than sling mud and point fingers. He's focused on doing what's best for his kids at this point, even if that means undergoing some introspection. What's your take on him? Is he someone who knew what was going on in this household as it was going on? Is he someone who's a victim of Ruby as well? Certainly there's responsibility that comes along with being a parent, even if you are the one being abused by your spouse.
It's hard to imagine that he didn't know some of what was going on, for sure. And I think, you know, one of my senses is that there seemed to be a pretty clear division of labor to some extent in their family. It was a pretty traditional family, a pretty religious family. Mm-hmm. And that I think probably in his mind, he, you know, saw some things that may or may not have disturbed him. He may have agreed with them. He may not have been an active participant. He may have agreed with the philosophy of tough love, or you have to teach your kids humility and those kinds of things, and left it to Ruby in terms of how that kind of gets carried out. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure, based on the information I have, how much of an active participant he was. But I would be very surprised if he did not know some of what was going on. Now, things may have escalated in the past 13 months if they've been separated, but this is apparently, from what some of the kids have said, especially the older kids, this has been going on for years.
One thing I've noticed in this, and I'm not trying to slam any religion or anything like that, I'm just noticing a pattern. We have seen a lot of cases in the last year involving the Mormon faith and really horrible behavior by adults and parents. Anything from James Craig, the Daybells, Jared Bridegain. Now we have Ruby, and I think there's a couple others that are slipping my mind at this second. But what role, if any, does religion play in their justification of parenting with these extreme sort of tactics?
Well, I think that is interesting. And it is a pretty sensitive topic, because I do think spirituality is something that for the most part is good, and people benefit from it. But that's very different sometimes from organized religion. And also, when you have values or you have an organized religion, it isn't necessarily the religion's fault if people then distort those religious beliefs or twist them for their own benefit. So I do think a lot of times in some spiritual beliefs, there is this sense of accountability, and in teaching the Ten Commandments, and and there's some pretty strict guidelines and rules about that. And I think, again, what can happen is, number one, for some people I've seen, it prevented them when they are having or struggling emotionally, it can prevent them from actually reaching out and getting access to mental health care, because they feel like they have to, it's somehow a weakness of faith. If they are willing to do that, or I should be able to handle this through my own religion or spirituality. And, or there is this sense of, like you said, okay, where is that line? If I am the steward of my children and I am 100% responsible for what they do and what they say, then I am going to be more active and maybe more harsh in communicating that discipline. And so, I agree with you. There have been a number of situations where I don't think that, that religion was the reason for it, but it somehow became a justification for it. And that, I think, is incredibly problematic. It's something I think we all have to look at within ourselves, which is, okay, what if I am a religious person, I am a spiritual person, how am I using that in my life? And is it serving me well and serving my family well?
And I'm all about individuals getting therapy and mental health help and counseling. I think we all need it all the time. I'm 100% a proponent of it. But when you have certain situations like this, where you have people who are very religious, and then their church, if you do need mental health counseling, sometimes they either handle it within that organization, or they recommend someone for you to see that they have vetted to their certain extent. And a crazy example here, though, is the fact that the Mormon Church was recommending Jody Hildebrandt as a counselor. So if this is the type of person that's in your ranks of, here, go get mental health counseling from someone like that, is this a reflection of a greater problem within that church? Do they need to take a closer look at what's going on here? Why are people somehow going from point A, which is not a religion that's teaching you to go kill your kids or do anything horrible, but somehow people are somewhat feeling enabled to do bad things here. And I don't know why or how or what the trigger is, but is that something that should be looked at a little bit closer in terms of who's influencing who there?
Well, certainly, potentially. And I think there should be more of a separation, you know, for most of the time between a person's religion and mental health care, depending upon the situation. But I have to tell you, Tony, one of the most difficult things about this case for me is that just the fact that Jody Hildebrandt is a mental health professional.
Yeah.
Few things infuriate me more than thinking that a mental health professional could be misusing the training that we are, you know, receive and the care that we are entrusted with as clinicians. I mean, we're not physicians. The whole, you know, first do no harm is the, you know, obviously the physician's credo, but I think we have that as well.
Yeah.
And to think of, you know, of there being a mental health professional, a licensed mental health professional who's out there who is endorsing, encouraging any kind of abusive tactics or, you know, parenting, it really is absolutely infuriating to me.
Why would it, or why did it take so long, in your opinion, to stop these people? Several people, neighbors claiming that, look, we tried to help. People are saying that no one was saying anything or we're all looking the other way. We were not. We were calling DCFS, neighbors saying that they would literally leave food on the porch of Ruby and Frankie, Ruby and Jody. They were concerned about the kids for several months. Even her Ruby's daughter called the Utah Division of Family Service, Child and Family Services, and yet it literally took one of them breaking away in duct tape to get some attention.
I can tell you, and this is going some years back, but when my first job out of graduate school, I worked extensively with Child Protective Services.
Yeah.
I was a therapist and worked a lot with abused kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was something that I heard then. Mm-hmm. And my sense is a couple of things. Number one is, you know, I think child welfare is understandably reluctant to take kids away from a home. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's difficult to find foster care. And, you know, I think we would all agree in theory that children are best with their families.
In theory, yeah.
You know, obviously not in all situations, but in theory, I think we would all kind of agree with that. I think there's oftentimes a lot of understaffing that goes on. And I remember hearing many social workers say, you know, I heard this, or we got this phone call, I went out, things were clean, you know, the kids seemed to be okay, you know, yeah, we got these calls. And so I couldn't prove anything. I didn't see anything, you know, and so we wrote it up and then we closed it. And then the really horrific thing, though, that happens sometimes is it seems almost like, and this was, again, I could only speak to my experience, you know, years ago, it almost seemed like every phone call, as opposed to it being, okay, the first phone call is minor, and then the second one, this is our third phone call for this family. Something's up, right?
Mm-hmm.
It almost became like each phone call was a first-time event.
Mm-hmm.
And so as opposed to things kind of progressing, and I'm not saying this is true in this case, I don't have enough information to say that,
sure.
But it sounds like there were a lot of people who were concerned, who were calling, you know, and that used to happen, you know, again, years ago, where they would say, we don't have the manpower, the person power to investigate all these things. We go out, we do a welfare check, you know, and if everything seems okay, we basically wait and see what happens. And, you know, sometimes that's too late to wait and see what happens.
Unfortunately, that is, and I mean, talk about an agency with a lot of wonderful people in it that are trying to do the best that they possibly can with not nearly enough resources. So in no way am I slighting the employees of that or the very good people who are trying to work that. It's more of a system broken thing that we see over and over again. And of all the things that we want to fix and how much everyone professes we care about children and this or that, how about starting here? How about looking at
I could not agree with you more. No. I really could not, because I think that drumbeat of we're understaffed, we don't have enough resources, that has been beating for decades.
You're consuming the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to care for yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps. Ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today for 10% off your first month.